This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
This is Clay from Skilled Gentleman Podcast. You're listening to Handgun World Podcast with Bob Main.
Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. Welcome to episode number 414 of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is a practical show done by a practical guy, and that is me. By the way, the intro and outro music is called You Ain't Getting My Guns by Ozark Revival. If you like that music, check out ozarkrevival.com. This week, hey, I got to say, first of all, happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. This episode is releasing on April 16th, Easter Sunday, 2017. He is risen. And we celebrate that. And we are thankful for that. So again, happy Easter, everybody. All right, time for some gun reviews, gun and gear reviews. Mainly guns. I have 5 little guns here in front of me that I want to review. 5 little guns, small guns that I own that I want to review. All of these except for one, I've owned for quite some time, and I will talk about the one exception. But a lot of people like small guns. They like them for concealed carry. And as we all know, it's a trade-off. If you carry a small gun for concealed carry, the beauty of it is that they are easier to conceal. Yes, they do weigh less. So for all-day carry, that's nice as well. If you happen to work in more of a non-permissive environment, it's great. Those are great because you can get away with carrying and not be noticed. The trade-off is that you've got less capacity in your gun. Now, you know, it's arguable as to how important that is. I think it's important to have a decent amount of capacity. I don't feel undergunned with any of these that I'm going to talk about except for one. I don't really feel undergunned. Well, maybe except for two. So I want to talk about these. Now, is it possible that we are going to meet 2 attackers, maybe even 3? Yes, it is. If you practice, if you're a good shot, and the thing is if you practice and if you train, most of these small guns are probably going to get you out of the situation that you're in, but the key is you have to practice and you have to train with them. I love my Glock 19. And most of you know that I hate 1911s. Just kidding. You know, somehow I got that reputation. I don't know how that got pinned on me, that I hate 1911s. I don't hate 1911s. I don't hate 1911s. I don't know if I ever told you. Maybe I did. I think I've told you once. I used to own quite a few 1911s. I had a couple of Kimbers. I had a Springfield. And I had a Magnum Research 1911. In fact, I started shooting competition seriously with a 1911. I started a little bit, just kind of dabbling in competition years ago with a couple of Glocks. But then I bought 1911s and I got real serious and I was competing in the CDP division of IDPA with a couple of Kimbers. I just could not carry those heavy all-steel 1911s all day, every day. So that's why I got into some of the lighter guns. I got no problem with 1911s. No problem at all. Now, I'm not going to review any 1911s in this episode. This is probably going to be the first of 3 podcasts that I'm going to do where I review guns and gear that I own. Now, most of you know that my philosophy here on the Handgun World Podcast is to give you reality as I see it and to give you my opinions and my thoughts. And I don't like to review any gun or any piece of equipment that I haven't used. It just kind of drives me nuts when people interject their opinions. And you can tell that oftentimes when they do that, they haven't used, and I mean, you know, seriously used, the gun or the gear that they're reviewing. That's not me. I don't think that that's fair to you, the listener. So let's get started. The first one I want to review is my Smith & Wesson, my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield. Now you might be thinking, Bob, come on. I know everything there is to know about a shield. I've been hearing about shields like crazy. It's one of the most popular guns out there. Everybody talks about their shield. Everybody's got a Smith & Wesson M&P Shield. And there's a gazillion YouTube videos on the Smith & Wesson M&P Shield and so on and so forth. And you know what? You would be right. I'm going to talk about both the advantages I see and the disadvantages of all these guns and kind of throw in my two cents from my perspective. If you own other M&Ps, then this obviously is a logical choice for a smaller version of a larger M&P that you have. Now, some things I want to say about the M&P Shield. You know, even though it's a small single stack gun, well, almost single stack. I mean, the magazine, if you notice, the rounds in the magazine are not completely single stack. They're kind of staggered, but let's just call it a single stack slim 9mm pistol. For me, I don't like the Shield with the 7-round magazine. I don't like the Shield with the 7-round flush-fitting magazine because I can't get a full grip on the pistol. I like guns where I can get the full grip, or if I cannot get a full grip and I can only get my middle and ring fingers on the grip, I like to be able to get a real good grip with those two fingers. And I can't. On a Shield, I cannot. It's too slippery. Unless I were to send this off to get some texturing put on it, it's too slippery to just shoot effectively with, for me, with the 7-round mag. Now, you might want to try to carry it with a 7-round mag and then 8-round as a backup. You know how I feel about that. I've always said, and I still maintain, and until I'm unequivocally proven wrong, I'm going to say the chances of you having to reload in a gunfight are next to nothing, ladies and gentlemen. So don't count your spare magazine as extra ammo for the fight. Consider your spare magazine as a way to clear a malfunction and get fresh ammo in there because your gun malfunctioned, and to stay in the fight, you have to put in a new magazine because your first magazine failed. So I carry the Smith & Wesson Shield with 8-round magazines. Now that makes it a 9-round gun, and that's pretty good. 9 rounds in a small single stack 9mm, that's not too bad for a tiny gun like this. That's not too, the capacity is not too bad. I don't feel really undergunned. I feel like I can probably solve the problem in 9 rounds. And I train a lot. I practice a lot. So I think I can probably solve the problem with 9 rounds in the gun. I do use Paul Carlson's Plan B base plates for the mags. I talked about these in an episode several months ago. I've got a YouTube video. If you go to my YouTube channel, Handgun World Podcast on YouTube, you will see a YouTube review that I did on the Shield Plan B base pads that Paul Carlson at Safety Solutions Academy makes. His website is also shieldplanb.com. Shieldplanb.com. It really improves the grip for me. It kind of gives my pinky sort of a ledge, so to speak, to rest on. And it really helps me to get a lot more positive grip on the Smith & Wesson Shield. And they're made a whole lot better than the factory base plates for the 8-round magazines. And also, these eliminate the problem of the magazines not wanting to come out of the gun because your hand can't trap the magazine inside the magwell when you're trying to eject the magazine. So those are some of the things I really like about the Shield. Here's what I don't like about the Shield. Two things, the weight and the trigger. Let's talk about the weight. A fully loaded Smith & Wesson Shield, in my opinion, weighs a lot for a small single-stack gun or a small 9mm gun. I think it weighs more than it should have, and especially when I use the Plan B base plates and have a completely loaded gun with 9 rounds in here, it's fairly heavy for what it is. Yes, it's lighter than a full-size service pistol, but for what it is, it's kind of heavy. But I do carry it. Whenever I carry my Smith & Wesson Shield, I normally carry it in a Concealment Solutions Cobra outside the waistband holster. And that's a great combination. And then I use a Dale Fricke horizontal mag carrier, because at the time I was buying a horizontal mag carrier for this pistol. Mag holder didn't make them for the Shield. I don't know yet if they do, but I do have some other mag holder horizontal mag carriers, which are my favorite horizontal mag carriers, which I'll talk about a little bit later. The trigger on the Shield ain't so great. The trigger on the Shield just is not all that terrific. I'm going to talk about a gun pretty soon that has a far better trigger in this type of a gun. Now, it's better than the original M&P triggers by far. When Smith & Wesson first came out with the M&P Shield, I dry-fired it and I went, oh, that's good. That's a lot better than M&P's, the first generation of M&P's, which I thought had sucky triggers. I mean, bad. The first generation. Smith & Wesson has improved the M&P triggers, and with the 2.0, they have really improved them. Still not as good as others, but better. The Shield does have a nice positive reset, so when I press the trigger and the gun cycles, I get this. I think you heard that, which was a good positive tactile audible reset. The trigger, probably 6 or 7 pounds, it's okay. This gun doesn't quite have a 1,000-round trigger job yet. I think I've only got about 400 rounds, maybe 500 rounds through it. So I'm sure the trigger is going to improve after another 500 or 600 rounds. But the trigger is just okay. It's an accurate gun, but you really have to have very, very good trigger control. Of course, you got to have good trigger control to shoot any gun, really. Huh? Okay, there's the Smith & Wesson Shield brief review. Now, let's talk about one of my favorite single stack 9mm pistols that doesn't get a lot of mention. Walther PPS M2. Walther PPS M2. The second version of the Walther PPS. Again, I got a YouTube video. Check it out. Go to Handgun World Podcast on YouTube and check out my Walther PPS M2 first 100 rounds video. I'm going to put links to these videos in the show notes. But the trigger on this Walther PPS is just very nice. Not a real nice reset, a real nice clean break. I've only got about a 200 round trigger job on this one, so I'm sure it's going to get better. The trigger feels good. It's a little bit like a Glock trigger, but better. I think better than a Glock trigger. Comfortable gun. Great gun to hold in my hand. It's got kind of a medium height bore axis, kind of like the Smith & Wesson Shield, kind of like a medium height bore axis. So it doesn't sit real tall in my hand. I don't like guns that sit real tall in my hand. Personal preference. A lot of people argue with me saying that doesn't matter when trying to control the gun. I think it does. I've been shooting quite a while and quite a long time, and I shoot better with guns that have a lower bore axis. For me, that is a big deal. Maybe not for you, but for me, that's a big deal. And the Walther PPS is nice that way. The grip is very good. Again, 8-round magazines. I like them with the 8-round magazines. It's got 7-round and 8-round. I don't like the 6-round magazines for the same reason I don't like the small magazines in the Shield. Walther, I think, has done a great job with the texturing on this gun. The texturing is not too aggressive, but aggressive enough so that it doesn't slide around in my hand. The recoil management on this Walther PPS M2 is great. For a single stack gun, the recoil management is great. It's so friendly. This is such a shooter-friendly gun. What I don't like about this gun is the same thing I don't like about the Smith & Wesson Shield. It's heavy. It's heavy for what it is. However, it does not suffer the problem that the Shield suffers, where when you try to eject a magazine, your hand is not going to pinch the magazine into the magazine well. They drop free, and they drop nicely. Steel magazines, I'm pretty sure these are made by Metgar. I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to look at the label right here. Let's see what it says. And it doesn't say. It's got Walther on it. But I'm pretty sure these... Yeah, made in Italy. So they're probably made by Metgar. Okay. So that's what I like. And I really like the 8-round mags. The one thing I didn't like when these PPS M2s first came out, the 8-round mags were hard to find. I found a couple. Now I'm pretty sure you can find them pretty easily. And that's the one I prefer. That gives me the best grip. It's very, very thin. So again, compared to concealing a double stack mag, much easier to conceal. Jason Christensen, I called him up when I got this PPS M2, and I said, "Hey, Jason, what about a holster for a PPS M2? And he said, the original Walther PPS holsters should work just fine. So I bought one from him. He sent it to me. He was right. The Walther PPS M2 fits in holsters that were made for the original PPS. And the M2 has the American-style mag release with the mag button that is ambidextrous and is used. You push it with your thumb instead of the hokey-pokey European mag release that's at the bottom of the mag well, which I don't like. Some people do like that, but I don't. I have trained myself endlessly to eject the magazine with my thumb, and that's the way it's going to stay. I'm not going to switch to anything else, and the PPS M2 does that. Okay, quick break, and I'll be right back.
A woman is approximately 10 times more likely to be successfully raped when she doesn't have a gun, according to a Department of Justice study. This explains why women in the United States use firearms about 200,000 times a year to stop sexual assaults. It also explains why more than 40% of women own or already have access to a firearm. So why do some politicians want to disarm women? Maybe rape isn't a serious enough crime in their minds. Or maybe they don't want to stare down the wrong end of your barrel.
Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
I'm back. A couple of other things I wanted to say about these two guns before I move on. The Shield and the Walther PPS M2, they do have a couple of other slight negatives as I see it. For people who have a hard time racking the slide on these small guns, 90% of the time it means they're not trained properly. Probably 10% of the time they may not just be physically capable for several reasons. However, most of the time, with good training, people that have a hard time racking the slide can learn to rack the slide. But if you haven't received that proper training, or you just have some kind of a physical challenge that prevents you from doing it, these two guns, they're not that easy to rack the slide for people who can't do it. There are some that are easier, which I'm going to get into here in a moment. So, you know, that's one thing to consider. By the way, the slide, since I'm talking about slides, the slide release on the Walther PPS, if you're the person that likes to use the slide release to send the slide home after you load, I don't like doing that. I don't teach that. If you come to one of my classes, I'm not going to teach that. I differ with Ben Branham and some other people on that. I think that you should learn and train yourself to rack the slide by using the overhand tug method. And that's just because you're going to do that when you clear malfunctions. You're going to do what you train yourself to do. And I have seen people miss the slide release. Yes, I'll say that again. I've seen people miss the slide release, and that extra quarter or half a second can cost them. It can cause them a problem. Now, you might say, well, Bob, it's slower to use the overhand tug method. Yes, it is slower to use the overhand tug method, but for sure that gun is going to put a round in the chamber. Using the slide release, if you miss it, and then you got to fumble around with your gun and hit it again, it may cost you just as much time. And by the way, if you're the kind of person that likes to shoot different types of guns, well, all different guns have a slide release located in a different place. You ever notice that? Semi-automatic pistols. The slide release is different for almost every semi-automatic pistol you pick up. It's located in a different spot. If you pick up a SIG and you compare it to a Glock, the slide releases are in different places. I'm sitting here looking at my Walther PPS, and I'm looking at my shield, and the Walther PPS is easier for my thumb to reach the slide release. It's a lot easier. So if you train yourself to use the slide release to send a round home and to send the slide forward, well, what if you're picking up different guns and it's in a different spot each time? See, I believe in consistency. I believe in consistency of gun handling. Consistency. Do the same thing every time. Do the same thing every time. Make it second nature. Make yourself unconscious competent to where you can do it without even thinking about it. But if the slide release is in different spots on each gun you pick up, you may have to think about it. That extra little thinking may cause you time. Folks, this is just my opinion. If you use the overhand tug method, guess what? Guess what? That's the same with every semi-automatic pistol. Okay, I'll rest my case. So it's different if you pick up a different type of pistol. Okay, let's see. That's all I wanted to say about the shield. Put these off to the side. And the Walther PPS. All right, Glock 43. I own a Glock 43. Oh, by the way, I guess there's one more thing. The shield I've owned for well over 3 years. I have the no thumb safety version. The no thumb safety version. A little over 3 years. The PPS M2, I think about a year. Glock 43, I bought it about a month after they came out. Can't remember when that was, but I bought it about a month after it came out. Okay, I really like this little single stack 9mm Glock. I would say it's every bit as good as the shield and the PPS. It's hard to go wrong. Let's talk about what I don't like about the Glock 43. What I don't like about the Glock 43 is when I shoot it, compared to the shield and the PPS, it's a lot more uncomfortable to shoot. It's snappier. It's got more perceived recoil than the shield and the PPS. Smith & Wesson and Walther have done a fantastic job in making these two small guns easy to shoot. Glock, not so much. It's snappier, so it's harder to manage the recoil for me. Now, I'm comparing defensive loads. Usually what I'm shooting in these small guns is I'm either shooting like some double tap, you know, 105 grain, I believe is what it is. All copper, solid copper bullets, or I'm putting in 124 grain Federal HSTs, which is one of my favorite carry rounds, the 124 grain Federal HSTs. So if I were to put an 124 grain HST in each of these three guns, the Glock is going to recoil significantly more than the Shield or the Walther PPS. Now, I'm not extremely recoil sensitive, but if you are, you might not like the Glock 43. But in terms of size and weight, the Glock 43 is probably one of the best single stack 9mm out there. The Ruger LC9S, probably equivalent in terms of weight to the Glock 43, but much smaller gun. If you put these next to the Walther and the SIG, I mean the Walther and the Smith & Wesson that I have, the Glock weighs a lot less, it's a lot smaller, much easier to conceal. A disadvantage of the Glock 43, capacity. For the life of me, I can't figure out why Glock, when they came out with this pistol, only came out with 6-round magazines. Stupid. What a stupid move. I like the extensions that Glock has on their magazines for the G43. I like them. That was a smart move so that you could put your pinky on the gun. But I'm going to talk about some other extensions in a minute. But I just think stupid move, 6 rounds in the mag. 7-round gun where a Shield is a 9-round gun and a PPS is a 9-round gun. But the weight difference and the size difference might be a decent trade-off for you. Now, I bought Pearce, P-E-A-R-C-E. I bought the Pearce 43 plus 1 mag extensions. So that makes the Glock 43 mag a 7-round magazine. Now, with a 7-round mag, 1 in the chamber, 8-round gun, now it's a little bit more towards my liking. I like to have 8 rounds at least. Preferably 9, preferably 10 if possible, but these little single stacks don't lend themselves very well to putting 10 rounds in them. I can live, if I'm going to carry a small gun like this, I can live with 8 rounds. I like these Pearce 43 plus 1, Glock 43 plus 1 mag extensions. It's textured, the magazine extension is textured, so I can, you know, when my pinky rests on that, it's got good texture to make sure that I got a good grip. At first, when this gun came out, Terran Tactical made good extensions for the mags. Suarez International now makes good extensions for the mags. Lots of people make Glock 43 mag extensions. But come on, Glock. You know, I'm a big Glock fan. I'm not a fanboy, but I'm a Glock fan. But I was disappointed when they came out with 6 rounds. So you're forced to have to go on the search for magazine extensions. I don't like the plus 2 magazine extensions for a Glock 43. See, once you get to a point of extending the magazine on guns like this, you start to defeat the purpose of what they are, in my humble opinion. These are small, easily concealable, deep concealment, deep little hideout guns. You start putting longer and longer magazines on it, and that starts to defeat that purpose. Because as we all know, the magazine is one of the hardest things to... The grip and the mag is one of the hardest parts of the gun to conceal. So when you start elongating both of those, guess what? Your concealability becomes more challenged. So the plus one Pearce, they seem to really fit well nicely on my G43. I haven't talked about sights. Let's talk about sights. At a gun show about 6 months ago, someone had recommended the AmeriGlow Hackathorn sights for the Glock 43. The AmeriGlow Hackathorn sights. They are black rear and an orange and tritium front sight. Beautiful combination for this little Glock 43. Terrific combination, because in terms of shootability, my eyes get drawn to that orange front sight whenever I am using sighted fire nicely. They're low profile. They do have a ledge on the rear sight in case I want to do one-hand manipulations and rack the slide off of my belt. So consider the AmeriGlow Hackathorn with an orange front sight. Try that on your Glock 43. I have the Trijicon HD sights on my Shield, which I really like, with the U-notch. On the PPS, I'm still using the factory sights. But I'm probably going to be switching it out pretty soon to either these Hackathorns or Trijicon HDs. I'm liking an orange or green outline on the front sight. All right, back to the Glock 43. It's got the fourth generation texturing, which I really like. No finger grooves, which I really like. And what Glock has done with the 43 and the 42 that I really like is there is an ever so small sort of a beaver tail on the back of the frame, on the tang. So when you get a nice high grip like I do, I don't get slide bite from the Glock 43. Some people get some slide bite from standard Glocks like 1917s and 22s. And I don't. I don't with the 43. If you take a good close look at the little beaver tail area behind or just underneath the back of the slide, you'll see on the 43 and 42, it's shaped a little bit different than a standard Glock, and I like that. That's very good. That's very good. Trigger on the Glock 43, pretty good. For a little single stack, pretty good. It's your typical Glock trigger, a little bit heavier than a standard Glock, probably about a 6 pound. That's what it feels like. To me, it feels like about a 6 pound trigger. And I think Glock has probably got the best mag release of any of the little single stacks that I've picked up. It's got the regular Generation 4 mag release. Real big, easy for me to depress, and never do I press the mag release by accident when I don't intend to. With a Glock 43. It doesn't happen with the Shield either. Very seldom it happens with the Walther. But a lot of it is just the grip. But I'm so used to Glock triggers and I'm so used to Glocks that I can shoot this 43 pretty well. The 42 is a dream to shoot. Man, I tell you what. Yeah, I know it's only a 380, but if you want a nice, shootable, little, very small, concealed carry pistol, I highly recommend the Glock 42. I mean, wow, what a fun gun to shoot. And both of these are very accurate. All these are accurate. You know, hey, accuracy in a large part is the shooter. In large part, the accuracy depends on the shooter. And it depends on your level of training and your level of practice. But anyway, that's the Glock 43 and the Glock 42. There's not a lot of difference between the 43 and the 42 made by Glock, except for the caliber, of course. They're pretty close to same. I mean, sure, the Glock 42 is a little bit smaller. It's a little bit smaller. The 42 is probably more pocketable than the Glock 43. Neither of these three guns, the Walther, the Shield, or the Glock 43, in my opinion, neither of these are pocketable. I've seen people carry them in their pocket, but I can think of better guns to carry in your pocket than these. A Glock 42 would be a better pocket gun, in my opinion. And a couple of others that I want to talk about here pretty soon. Like how about right now? All right. Smith & Wesson .642 Performance Center revolver. I own one. Oh, wow, the .642 Performance Center. Much different than a standard .642. Look that up. Smith & Wesson .642 Performance Center. The trigger on this is a dream. Wow, what a nice double action revolver trigger. When I got this .642, it's almost like a gunsmith did a really nice trigger on it before I pulled it out of the box. But that's the way it comes from Smith & Wesson. So, you know, what is there to say about a .642, a Smith & Wesson .642 that hasn't already been said? There's nothing that hasn't already been said. On these Performance Center models, what can I say that hasn't already been said? Two things. The trigger. Trigger is phenomenal. And the grip. Real nice rubber with a wood inlay grip. One of the problems I've always had with small revolvers, small J-frame revolvers, is they move around in my hand a lot when I'm shooting them. Not this .642 Performance Center. And in terms of a pocket gun, I carry this in a DeSantis Superfly pocket holster. What a great combination. I will say, I've heard Grant Cunningham say this and other people as well, revolvers come out of the pocket when you're drawing probably better than any other pocket gun because of the shape of a revolver and because of the way that this .642 is built. Nothing gets caught inside your pocket when you draw it. So in terms of a pocket gun, if you want to carry a pocket gun with a decent amount of stopping power, the .642 Performance Center, consider it. I would say probably it's a much better pocket gun than any of the semi-autos that I've just mentioned. And, of course, it's a .38 Special. Yes, only five rounds. That's a disadvantage. Five rounds is a disadvantage. The semi-autos I just mentioned, more round capacity. So if you just simply can't live with five rounds in your pocket, then you have to switch to something else. Incidentally, the Glock 42, you can get eight-round mags for that thing, and it's still very pocketable. It's still very pocketable. So on the Glock 42, you could be carrying eight or nine rounds of .380. And it's your choice. Do you want eight or nine rounds of .380, or do you want five rounds of .38 Special? Either one, they're good pocket guns. They're going to fit in your pocket nicely. And they're real shootable. This J-frame, hey, it's a J-frame, so it's tough to shoot. It's tough to shoot. I would not recommend this .642 for any beginner. I would not recommend it for anybody that's not trained. You got to have some training if you're going to be effective with a gun like this. But wow, once you practice with it, it is it's very, very accurate, and the trigger is just phenomenal. The trigger and the grip, wow, way to go, Smith & Wesson. Good job. Okay, a couple of what I consider really tiny pocket guns that are the best. I'm going to talk about what I think, my personal opinion, are the two best pocket 380s that you can own and carry right after the next break.
You have reached the 911 emergency service. All operators are busy.
Oh God, please help me. He's got a knife.
You have reached the 911 emergency service. All operators are busy. Please stay on the line for the next available emergency operator. You have reached the 911 emergency service. All operators are busy. Please stay on
the line. 911 operator, what's your emergency, please? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Last year in the United States, thousands and thousands of 911 calls went unanswered. And if you call from a cell phone, there's no way to pinpoint where you are. Yet politicians like Dianne Feinstein call for more gun control. We have one question. Why do these politicians have armed bodyguards? Can't they just call 911?
Okay, pocket 380s. Remember, I'm talking about 380s now, not 9mm. The excellent 380 ammo these days is so much better than the 380s of several years ago. Now, when I took the Pocket Poppers class taught by Chuck Haggard at the Tactical Conference, that was a great class because he shared with us a lot of interesting things about pocket guns. One of his recommendations is if you're going to carry a 380, carry a full metal jacket to get the penetration that you need. And I think I'm agreeing with him on that. Only for 380s. So let's start with the Car Arms P380. The Car Arms P380 or CW380, either one of them. I think Car still makes the best pocket 380s out there. The P380 is a little pricey, but well worth it. The trigger is outstanding for a double action trigger, even better than the revolver trigger on the 642 Performance Center. Love my little Car P380. Real usable sights, and you can change the sights out easily. They're dovetailed in the front. Makes it easy to change out. Super small little gun. Very easy to shoot. Very easy to shoot the Car P380. Very, very little recoil. Extremely easy to shoot. I can be extremely accurate with it. Terrific little gun. Hard to say anything bad about it. The CW380, a little bit lesser expensive model. All the same things I like about my Car PM9. And by the way, I didn't mention the Car PM9, but terrific. That's also a terrific gun. I don't know why I didn't talk about it in this episode. Maybe next week I'm going to do some more reviews. I'll throw the PM9 in there. But you've heard me, if you've been listening to my podcast for a long time, you've heard me talk about how much I like the Car PM9 or the CM9. They're both fantastic. Okay, another little pocket gun that I have. I bought this on New Year's Eve, December 31st. I got a Ruger LCP-2. The LCP-2. I really like this little thing. Some really nice things I like about it versus the older LCPs. First of all, this trigger is incredible. This trigger on the LCP-2 is amazing. For a little pocket 380, this thing, it breaks nice. It's got just a really smooth, crisp break. The reset is a real nice tactical reset. Tactile reset. Trigger is comfortable. Really, really like it. It's not that long, hideous, horrible, hard double action only trigger, whatever they call it. I just call it a hideous, horrible trigger of the original Ruger LCPs and Kel-Tec P380s. Ah, terrible. Oh boy, but this LCP-2, this trigger is nice. And Ruger has put some real nice texturing on the new LCP-2. So it stays in my hand. It's got, you know, not really aggressive, but just enough aggressive texturing. And when you buy it, in the box, it comes with only one magazine, unfortunately, but it's got the magazine pinky extension. Now, it's only six rounds. I haven't checked in to see if there's any mag extensions for the Ruger LCP, but if there isn't any now, I'm sure there will be. So right now, out of the box, when you pull it out of the box, it's a seven-round gun. Six in the mag plus one in the chamber. Seven rounds of 380. If I can get a mag extension that adds one round, I'd be happy with that. That would make it an eight-round 380. It's even got cocking serrations on both the front and the rear of the slide. So, nice little gun. The slide locks back. That's the other thing, is when the gun runs dry, the slide locks back. I like that feature. And it's got decent sights on it. It's not just little bumps on top of the slide, and they used to call those things sights. Those weren't sights. Those were just bumps on the slide. This Ruger LCP-2 has good sights. You know, decent, usable sights. I think I'm probably going to put some orange paint on the front sight just to differentiate it from the black rear so that I can pick it up a little bit quicker. Again, if I'm using sighted fire. If I'm using sighted fire. I don't always use sighted fire, and I still make good hits at real close ranges, which I've talked about before. I use that very controversial method called point shooting that some people say should never be taught. But I digress. I disagree, but I'm not going to go there right now. Not in this episode, anyway. Okay, so, and I bought an extra magazine for this Ruger LCP2, so now I got two. I'm going to have to buy two or three more. I got a bunch of magazines for all these guns that I'm talking about. Eva bought some new magazines for my revolver. Okay. Just a little attempt at humor. But anyway, speaking of revolvers, by the way, I was at Range Day with Ben Branham recently, and Ben was showing me how he uses speed strips to reload his revolver. And I think that's a lot better idea using speed strips than the speed loaders. So I'm gonna get some speed strips for my 642 awesome little J-frame performance center Smith & Wesson revolver. Hey, by the way, this Smith & Wesson 642, like any 642, a lot smaller and lighter, folks, than a Ruger LCR. I know Ruger LCRs are nice guns. They're nice guns, and they're priced right. But if you can afford a little bit more money and get a 642 performance center, smaller, lighter, trigger is just as good, gun is just as well built, and just as accurate in my opinion, go for it. Go for it. That's about all I want to talk about right now in this episode. Let me know what you think if you own some of these guns compared to what I have said. You're probably wondering, okay, Bob, out of the 5 guns that you talked about in this episode, which one's your favorite? The answer is yes. They're all my favorite. I like them all. All right. If I have to pick one and only one, I hate that question. But people always ask, but if you can only pick one gun, you know, you ever seen that? You seen that on gun forums, you see them on Facebook, you see it everywhere. If you could only pick one gun. You know, first of all, what a sucky situation to only have to only pick one gun. One gun? Handgun? First of all, if I can only pick one gun, I'm going to pick an AR-15. Okay, one handgun you're talking about. And of the five that I've talked about today, I talked about six because I put in the Car P380. That's right. Yeah. Okay. I talked about the Car P380. I'll tell you what. Glock 43. There you have it. Yeah. I'm not a fanboy. Yes, I'm a fan. No, I'm not a fanboy. Yes. No, I'm not a Glock fanboy. Glock 43. Why? Why the Glock 43 out of the half a dozen that I've talked about today? Well, size, weight, capacity. When you consider the whole package, size, weight, capacity, and because I'm so familiar with Glocks, I'll take the 43. But you know what the good thing is? I don't have to just pick one. I don't have to pick just one. By the way, none of these are my primary carry. None of these are my primary carry. They all serve as a backup gun of some sort. But if I were going to make them my primary carry, now that's a different question. If I was going to make one of these my primary carry that I would carry all the time as a primary gun, Smith & Wesson Shield. You know why? Basically, more capacity than a G43. Parts availability, outstanding. Sights availability, outstanding. Trigger average, but good enough. Smith & Wesson Shield. If I had to make one of these guns my primary carry, I can get the Shield Plan B base pads for it. So there you go. All right. Hey, I have a voicemail, folks. 210-646-1727. If you have some feedback for me, If you have any of these guns and you got some feedback, love to hear it. 210-646-1727. You can leave a 3-minute voicemail and be on the Handgun World podcast. You can shoot me an email if you want, bob@handgunworld.com, bob@handgunworld.com. I put a post on Facebook. For every episode, you can make comments there. Handgunworld.com, you can make comments there. Hey, how about leaving me an iTunes review for those of you that listen to this podcast through iTunes? I'd love to hear what you think about the Handgun World podcast. Leave me an iTunes review. Please don't forget about supporting Ben and I at the Shooters Club. There's some new videos going up real soon. Some new videos going up. Hopefully I can get them uploaded in the next day or two. I procrastinated on my taxes, folks, and I got to file an extension. So I'm going to be spending some time over the next couple days putting some numbers together so I can file my extension and be a latecomer and do my taxes later on. So that might slow me down a little bit. And check out the classes. Ben and I are might be coming to your area. You can find all those at handgunworld.com. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click. Or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.